So, in our lesson, we're going to talk about praises to God that he says. From the text given, we'll start with verse 4. You know, verses 1 through 3, even Steve in his lesson read the first 4 verses of this and then verse 5, because he wants his ways to be established. And so, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained the precepts. He's talking to God. To me, he's thanking God. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligent. That's our responsibility. But if God had not given his precepts, his commandments, this is the creator of the universe, and he loved his creation so much that he wanted them to walk in his way, to be blameless, to seek him with all their heart so that they would be right before him. So, he praises it. You have ordained your precepts. And 12a says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. So he's praising. This blessed is not, you know, him blessing God. He's praising God. Thank you, Lord, for your precepts. Teach me your statutes because, why? He doesn't want to be ashamed. He wants to be right. He wants his ways to be established. He's thanking God for his word. Any thoughts on that? When we say our prayers, we've got all these things we ask God for. Do we begin with thanking God for his word and for our opportunity to study it? I know I hear it in the prayers led in the congregation. And so we need to be thoughtful of thanking God for the word that we can apply to our lives, that make our lives better, so that we won't be ashamed before him when judgment comes, so that we can better answer the problems that come up in our lives. We need to thank God because he thought enough of man. You know, over in Deuteronomy, Moses' last sermon, he talks and talks and talks about keeping the word of God and how that would benefit them as they go into the land and what it does and teaching their children, Deuteronomy 4 and in 6 and just all these things, because God wants his people, whether it's Israel or Christians, to love him and serve him and observe his commandments with all their heart. You know, he didn't just pull that out in Psalms 119. He didn't just pull it out in the New Testament. Of all your heart, soul, and mind, is from the beginning. But he gives a choice. But are we thankful? Are we thankful? Okay. He wants us to be wise. Remember one of the verses of the things that we talked about as being one of the benefits was we will make us wiser than all the worldly teachers and wiser than all the elderly that don't know God's word and don't meditate on it. He wants us to be wise. It's not just spiritual well-being. It's making good choices for our sake. Okay, any other thoughts on that? Okay, verse 18. It's a prayer and a praise. Lisa, would you read 18 and 129?
Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law.
129.
Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them.
Okay. Your law is full of wonderful things. What does that connote to you? What are some of the things, let me ask you this, what are some of the things that you, when you read God's Word, that you find and say, you're amazed, just, you stand in awe of it. What are some of the things?
His compassion.
His compassion. Let's start with creation. Yeah, that's wonderful. He had compassion and love when he created the universe because he was creating man, and look what he made for him, you know? And so he made a wonderful world, but he made wonderful things. What else did God make that absolutely gives you awe? What did he do? What do we find in God's Word? You know, his compassion. What about something else? Yes.
When it talks about in his law, you know, thinking about things specifically, you know, we've been studying his Romans class and talking about, you know, without the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. But something that always astounds me is how God, it builds my faith, because how God knows human nature and the things that he set for us as, you know, his precepts and as his, what's the other word he used? His statutes. Yeah. You know, he knows our nature. He knows the things that, how humans think and how they act, and he set those things up because he knew that about us. And
so his providence and his carrying out his faithfulness in what towards his people. Wonderful, extraordinary, astonishing. The root word is miracle. The saying is miracle. Can you just imagine if you start from the beginning to the end, look at all the miracles he did? The flood. The nations. Keeping Israel. His wrath. It awes me when I teach a little class and we study the giving of the God coming down on the mountain. And the smoke and the thunder and the lightning and the trumpets. Can you imagine just standing there? That's the God that we're reading about. But that same God has done something even greater. What did he do that's the greatest thing that ever occurred for us?
Send
Jesus. And what did he do for Jesus? He raised him from the dead. That's where our hope is. That's where our trust is. So, there are so many things to praise God for his wonderful things he has done. Romans 11:33, what did you find there? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. So Paul, right into the Romans, is talking about the same thing. His unsearchable knowledge. You know, Job learned a lesson about that, didn't he? So we too can learn many, many lessons about that. Verse 21. Sally, would you read verse 21, 119?
God has rebuked proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments.
Okay. Mine says you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Why do you think I put that in there? Why do you think it's in this psalm? What was going on with this psalmist? Was he being persecuted? Was he being chided? Was he being lied about? Was he, you know, they were, the rulers were talking about him, lying about him?
Saul was after him constantly.
Well, if this is David, that's true. I don't know who this is. A lot of it points to that. But you rebuke the arrogant. What kind of comfort? Have you ever had people mistreat you and talk about you? Or make you feel like you're dirt? So you rebuke the arrogant. Thank you, Lord, for seeing everything. And I'm going to leave it to you. You know, we're talking about, the Lord talks about not getting your own revenge. You rebuke the arrogant and the cursed. Remember back in Deuteronomy, the blessing and the curse? God doesn't leave out his wrath in the Word of God. He doesn't give out. He doesn't leave out the judgments because of sin. I thank God that the people out there in the world, even those that I don't know, who cause our world to be like they are, that God's going to take care of them. God, thank you for doing that. Whether it's in judgment later on, but you know what? Their ways come to find them out. You know, that's in the Bible too. So, you rebuke the arrogant. He reproves. He chides. By the way, you ever had a little too much pride in your life? You know, we sort of fall to that sometimes. Wonder if his word didn't say, okay, Linda, you need to straighten up. The Lord doesn't like this. You need to be humble. He talks about that. And so he chides, he reproves the proud heart. So there have been times in my life I needed that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you know me and that you try to keep me on the straight and narrow and let me be disciplined by it. Thank you, Lord, because sometimes I read that and I say, man, I really needed to read that today. And so, thoughts on that? Remember Nebuchadnezzar? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar?
Pride
got to him. And what did the Lord do? Just let it go? Out there in the dew and, you know, and everything. And then he come around. And he knew who the Lord was when he got through with him. What about old Herod? And he killed James, and he's fixing to kill Peter, and then he goes before the people, and then he's in his robes, and he's acting as God. God got it. He died with worms. You read these things, and it sets me in amazement of just how God views the proud. The ones who don't give him the glory. So, he rebukes them. I'm thankful he does. We've seen leaders in our country. We're not going to talk about other countries. Russia fell. I don't know. That's God's business, how he deals with the nations. But in my lifetime, I've seen leaders come and go. I've seen powerful men fall because of sin, brought to the forefront. Presidents, others, I'm glad God is in control. Any thoughts? Okay. Verse 64. Let's go down there. Bobby, would you read 64 and 68, please?
Regarding this quote, you're loving the confidence of the Lord, and I'll teach you your steps. And the arrogant have forged a lie against me, with all my heart, I will show you your precepts.
Okay, in 68, you are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. 156, I put in. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. So, the earth is full of loving kindness, goodness, and great mercy. I'd be on my knees for the rest of my life trying to thank God for all the loving kindness. If I counted all my blessings, all the mercy He's shown towards me, all the good things that I have in my life, even the corrections and the discipline. So, he is praising God. We do thank God. So we're pretty good at that, thanking God for things. But we couldn't count them all, could we? Because we don't even know them all. Let's go to Psalm 103. Pat, would you read Psalm 103, 1 through 5, then verse 8. 103 Psalm, 1 through 5, and verse 8.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is written within me. Bless His holy name. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forget none of His benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from this death, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord is compassionate and gracious.
Verses 11 through 13.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him.
The earth is full of your loving kindness. 64. And we read of some of the things, you know, in 103 that the psalmist talks about. Conclusion. 119:65. Next thing on your list. You have dealt well with your servants. That's sort of the bottom line, isn't it? You have dealt well. And here he is suffering. But what's he praising God for? His word, his loving kindness, his mercy. So that he can hope and trust in that. You've dealt well with him. Sometimes in the midst of our troubles, do we say that? Or are we too busy asking God to fix it? Asking God to, you know, maybe help us endure. But Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this strength. Thank you, Lord, for the friends that have helped me through this. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. For all the things that help us. Because He's dealt well with us. But what is the deciding factor in those verses and everywhere else in the Bible? Those who fear Him. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Have proper reverence and respect for the Lord. Even when facing difficulties, when you don't know what to do, thank the Lord because He's dealt well with you. Any thoughts? You know, like I said, we're suffering loss, illness, distress, hurt. That's hard. That's hard to think about. But evidently for this psalmist, it helped him to go forward with getting and enduring and getting through what he was suffering. And because of his attitude. Remember those attitudes? That delight in the Lord, in the word of the Lord. So, you've dealt well with your servant. Any thoughts on that? Verse 73. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding and I'll learn it from you. Your hands made me and knit me together. I was hidden in the... It's all through the Bible. You ever thank God for your life? For making you who you are? We had a Christian family in New Jersey. And they had a child who was mentally retarded really badly. But I remember both her mother and her father thanking God for her because she had special ways, because of what that special child brought to their lives, even though it was difficult every day. But they found thanksgiving and good in what was. Instead of, why, Lord, did you do this? Why do we have to suffer every day? It was a great lesson for my children and for us to see the faith and the endurance and the happiness that we saw. Even though they had to put locks that she could get out of the door, they had to put locks on the refrigerator, they had to do all these things, but they were thankful. Any thoughts about, you created me, formed me, you know, and verse 139:15, Psalm 139:15 says, you know me. You know my heart. You know my days. You know my strength. And you know my weaknesses. Isn't that good to have a God who knows that? Not just humanity as a whole, because He's the Creator. We're talking about me, you, 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 you. And what does 1 Corinthians 10:13 say? He won't allow what? you to be tempted more than you can bear. What does that say about the God we serve?
He knows us.
He knows me. And he provides a way out. Now, he's provided Jesus. I don't know what else it's talking about. But I've had really special people come in, knock on the door, just in the time that I needed that. When I needed chided, I thank God for the people in my life who've made differences. My dad, you know, my grandmother, my great grandmother. They make differences. Thank God for it. He knows us. He loves us. And so, any thoughts on that? But praising God for that is one, that's what he's doing. He's thanking God for that. Even amidst what he's going through, and he's standing alone, evidently. Even though we talked about the companions, don't know if they're actually physically present, or if he's talking about the company of the faithful. Don't know about that. Remember, I'm a companion of those who fear the Lord, who hope in the Lord. So, if nothing else, the Word of God will let us look into the lives of the people that the Holy Spirit put in there to see how they coped, what they went through, what they did and they didn't do, and how God felt about it. It's for our learning. Okay, verse 75. It talks about his judgments. Your judgments are righteous. His word is righteous, are his judgments. Verses 137. Susan Hendricks, would you read 137 and 138?
Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy commandments. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness.
Okay. And 142 says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. And then in 164, he says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. When we messed up and we go, okay, what am I going to do about this? Aren't we thankful that we can turn to God's Word and he can tell us the right thing to do, the right thing to be, and the way to make to fix it? Because he's righteous and he's faithful. Nothing else in this whole world is as righteous and as just as the Word of God. Nothing. Nobody. Any thoughts of that? Did you write anything down? And you know what? They're forever. They're going to take us into eternity. We're not going to change tomorrow. And somebody tells you we don't have the Bible that was written in the first century? Don't you believe it? If his word is righteous forever, and he's faithful, and those words are going to judge us in the last day, this loving, kind, merciful God is not going to let His Word, if we seek Him, we're going to find it. He's not going to bring us into judgment with something that He's allowed to disappear. Although, in the Bible, there are 400 years, but you know what? There seems to be evidence that there was some faithful during those 400 years. The Holy Spirit just doesn't tell us about all that little years between Malachi and Matthew. Any thoughts on that? Any experience about somebody talking about, well, you just can't trust the Lord's Word anymore? I've got an uncle who went to seminary, and he's an agnostic today. He's been in every religion you can think of, and he started out as a Baptist preacher. He doesn't believe the Word of God is the same. You know why? Because if he did, it would condemn him the life he's leading. So he just says, well, it's just not the same. And you know, in our Bible studies, in our churches, in the seminaries especially, they don't talk about how we got the Bible. They don't talk about all the evidences that we have. He didn't know anything. And we talked about that at my dad's, after my dad's funeral. Make sure your children know about it, and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Because the devil is out there with a lie. His ordinances, His commandments, they are forever. They're righteous altogether. Okay, any thoughts on that? Verse 86 says about the same thing. I put that in there just for your reading. Did anyone put down anything? Look at 86. It says, all your commandments are faithful. And he talks about them being able to help him because people are lying about him, persecuting him. They almost destroyed me on earth. But your precepts, they help me. They're trustworthy. They're steadfast. Friends come and go. Maybe even churches come and go. We've been a part of one that went because of sin in the church. False teaching. But God's Word, if you make it your own, remember talking about ownership? It's faithful. It's trustworthy. And 89 says it's settled in heaven. You can't get any higher than that. You can't get any more powerful than that. It's unchangeable. It's eternal. And in Luke 21, Jesus makes a statement. Verse 33, my words will never pass away. See, there we are, we back. God's word is forever. My words will never pass away. Any thoughts? Elizabeth, would you read verses 90 and 91?
Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations,
to establish the earth in its kingdom. They can say according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants.
Okay. What's he talking about here? What's he praising God for? Thank you, Lord, for faithfulness in what? In your faithfulness in doing what? You establish the earth and it stands. Colossians 1 talks about he created all things through Christ, and all in whom all things hold together. He sustains, he watches, he keeps, he controls. We're just not flying through space out there somewhere, waiting for another big bang. Thank God for the creation. I sat on the porch this morning as the sun was coming up, and you should have heard the birds in my backyard. Made some of the hurt feel less, you know? Thank you, Lord, for that. You know? And so, he created the flowers. I got some pretty flowers. What about you? Or something else? What about something else? What's important in creation that brings you pleasure, that helps you just cope every now and then? What is it? Who likes to hike a little bit? Who likes a waterfall? Who likes just going to a park and sitting? Who just likes looking at a tree as you're driving down the street? Isn't that a pretty tree? Arthur, when he says his prayer sometime and everything, he really loves nature. And so he'll thank God for the beautiful day and the sunshine. And sometimes he can get around thinking for the rain, you know. And I don't know about me, but it would have been sort of hard for me on Sunday saying, thank you, Lord, for the rain, because it's making me hurt. Anyway, but found something. The garden needed it. How's that? But just the little things. And by the way, oh, thank you for my eyes, Lord, that I can see all that. And those of us who wear glasses and who have issues and things like that, and know people that I've loved that have gone blind, you know, they said that's what they missed. My great-grandmother, she missed that. But she had smelled the flowers anyway. She couldn't see them, but she wanted to smell them. So, you establish the earth the way it is. And if we understand how God established the earth in that evolution class, and how God created things and everything, and the evidences, and what you can't believe the Big Bang theory, that just something, matter come from nothing. So you just look around. Your faith will be stronger. But let's thank God for it. He wants to hear from His people. When we get to the end of this lesson, Lord willing, we're going to see how He feels about it if you're not thankful. So, 96 says there's no end to the perfection of His commandments. That's what makes us wise. Okay, but let's read 160 and 152. Sandra, would you read 160 and 152?
The entirety of your word is true. Every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. Concerning your testimony, I have known of all hope that you have doubted me forever.
Okay, so in 152, of old I've known your testimonies that you have founded them forever. It's back to what he's founding the testimony. It can be not only of his word that he gave to man, but his creation. Everything is set. And it doesn't change. Okay. Verses 140 and 151 just talks about his word being pure. Did you all find that? And true. And true. Just the thought, you know, when we're thanking God, what?
From the beginning.
Well, from the beginning.
It's true.
Well, he spoke and it happened, but, you know, what he said come true. The commands he gave, the promises he gave, the curses he gave, the judgments he gave, they all come true. So we're thankful. But not only are they right, that they're true and they're pure in our heart. Thank God for his word and all of the things that are surround the word that this psalmist and others, and that we gain when we read God's word, include it in the prayers and praising God. Doesn't mean that you do it every time. You know, we're not made that way. We fail. But anyway. But just in the forefront, you know, I really thank God. It's just in the little things. We can make a difference with someone. Or they can make a difference with you. But God's word always makes a difference one way or the other. Okay. And we had number 13 before, so we won't go through that again. 151. We're going to stop there because you are near, O God. There's some discussion. So we're going to stop. Lord willing, we'll pick up with verse 151. You are near, O Lord. And we'll... And make some notations. Give some more verses.